Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Not always an encouraging thing when we're a small group. And not only is he in our midst now, but we will be honoring him in Eucharistic adoration after this Mass, and it will be even more obvious that the Lord is in our midst, even if there's only one person here. Even if there's no one in the chapel, the Lord is here. This is the beauty of a Catholic chapel. Well, one of my limitations, you probably know many of them, but one of them is that I can't think of more than one thing at a time. And this happens every year on the days of preparation for the retreat. I fill my head with ideas for the retreat, most of which I throw out. And then it's time to have a Mass. And I say, well, I just prepared a homily for tomorrow. And now I have to come up with something for today. And you know, I don't know if COVID made it worse, but I don't have that, I'm not good at shifting gears. I do want to focus a little bit, though, for now on the place of these leaders that we honor in the saint. It's Saint Stephen of Hungary, and in the first reading, it's Moses and Joshua. I don't know why this jumped out at me. I suppose because in the secular news, it's all about Trump and Biden and Trump and Biden and Trump and Biden. And it's as if the country, now maybe it's all my own projection, but it's as if the country is saying, can't we come up with somebody better than Trump and Biden? I mean, because the one side is attacking Trump and now there's indictments against him, you know, legal charges. And the other side is attacking Biden and especially his son and his cabinet members. But it's pretty clear to everybody that we don't have perfect leaders. And there's this longing for someone better. Can't we have somebody better? Maybe that's in the background to why St. Stephen struck me. I was even going to skip over his feast day because I don't really know St. Stephen. I don't think anyone else knows him. But just that little description of him in the Animum Way and the reading in the Office of Readings today kind of brought out something of his greatness as a leader. He was born a pagan, baptized as a child. So he's at the very beginnings of Christianity in his land. And then he just takes it on 100%. He rises to the level of being king, and he uses his power. He's a leader who uses his power to establish the kingdom of God. It's just a beautiful example of a leader. And his son, who's, I think, the son to whom he wrote the second reading in today's Office of Readings, is also a saint, Saint Emmerich. They were canonized together. So it is, he's not a perfect man by any means. No one is, but it's possible to get good leaders. In today's first reading, it's all about the death of Moses, and his successor is Joshua. Moses is an extraordinary leader. This is the very last reading from the book of Deuteronomy, the very last verses of Deuteronomy, and it's, well, actually the conclusion of the whole Pentateuch, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So it's the end of the books of Moses, and you get the story of the end of Moses. I'm sure you're familiar with that tradition that Moses has long been considered the author of those five books. That's why they're called the books of Moses. And then with the Enlightenment and the more critical scholarship, people started asking, well, how could he write this passage? He died. How could he say that he was buried and no one knows where he's buried? And the answer of the evangelicals is, well, Moses was given a prophetic revelation of his death, and he could write his own obituary because God revealed it to him, which is, of course, possible, but it's not typically how we approach the scriptures now, that revelation is so unconnected to nature. So it's much more likely that Moses died and Joshua or someone came after him wrote about his death and the 30 days of mourning. But in any case, Moses is a great figure to reflect on because he is a type of Christ, a biblical type. He's a prefiguration of Christ. So if we understand Moses better, we're better prepared to understand Jesus Christ. Moses is a lawgiver, Jesus is a better lawgiver. Moses is a teacher, Jesus is a better teacher. Moses is a liberator. He overcomes Pharaoh and the enemies in the army of Egypt. Jesus is a better liberator. He overcomes Satan and sin and death and every one of our enemies. So that's the pattern we see. Here it says Moses died without entering into the promised land. He gets to the edge. He can see the goal, but that's as far as he gets, which puts him back on the human level. Jesus sees the goal and he goes there and he brings everyone with him. Moses, he, as great as he is, he has his limits. He lives to be 120 years old. I love the way the Bible sets up Moses' life. It's got three very distinct parts. First 40 years, prince of Egypt. Second 40 years, shepherd in Midian, humbled to the ground and wandering with his flocks. Then when he's 80 years old, he meets the Lord in the burning bush, and he's given a whole new stage. And so the last 40 years in the desert, leading his people through the desert, and then he gets to the promised land and he dies. But we don't have to say they're exactly 40-year periods, but they're clear stages of human life. And we who are invited to reflect on the book of our own life, as Pope Francis describes it, when we read the book of our own life, there are chapters, there are stages, and it's good to read them, to evaluate them, because this is how God is writing in our own personal history. Now, it says that Moses was buried, but to this day, where is it? Yeah. I just read it. And he was buried in the ravine opposite Beth Peor in the land of Moab. But to this day, no one knows the place of his burial. And there's a tradition that you probably know this too, that Moses was taken up to heaven like Elijah. And that's why at the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are there, because they were taken up to heaven. That's not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, but that's kind of alluded to by the fact that no one knows the place of his burial. Now, Moses is a type of Christ. So Christ died and he was buried, and we know where he was buried, and we know that he's not in there. So we know that he rose from the dead on the third day. So Moses died and is dead. Jesus died and is alive. So this is the biggest difference between the two of them. Moses, gosh, I completely forgot what else I was going to say about him. This is what happens to my brain now, just a complete gap. What Moses was told, that a prophet like him would come along. That's when Jesus came along, they said, maybe he's the prophet. What they're talking about is the prophet like Moses. A prophet like me, the Lord will raise up. And this reading says, no, since the death of Moses, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses. So at the writing of the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus hadn't come along yet. The prophet hadn't come yet, but we know that he has come. Ah, yes, I remember what I was going to say about Moses. I think it's wonderful to reflect on the greatness and yet also the limitations of every human leader. It's important that we have good leaders, and it's important that we pray for and support good leaders, and we vote for good leaders. But good leaders are those who are the closest to God, like St. Stephen, or like Moses, or like Joshua. Those are good leaders because they're good followers. They're the ones who submit themselves to God. They don't use their leadership for their own ends or for merely human advancement, but for the building up of the kingdom. And this helps us understand who we are, because all of us are leaders and all of us have a place in God's kingdom, but it's a limited place. And we're going to die and be buried, just like everybody else. The salvation of the world doesn't depend on us. In fact, the salvation of our own life doesn't ultimately depend on us. It depends on God. So God shows us the promised land, and we can't go there on our own. We can't just march into heaven on roller skates or any other things, you know, the song. We don't just pick ourselves up and go to heaven. We serve God. We're servants of God. We are given responsibilities by God, and we have to do our little part, and then we die. The mission goes on. And this is why another reason why I think we don't have to believe that all the books were written by Moses, because not everything depends on Moses. I mean, we don't have to believe that everything depends on Moses. In fact, this is clear in the Bible. If you go from Deuteronomy, the next book is the book of Joshua. And the story goes on. Moses gets left behind, and Joshua goes. It says there again and again, well, just like Moses, Joshua did this. Just like Moses led them through the Red Sea, Joshua leads them across the Jordan, and all these things. And you say, well, okay, because that's the way it is with human participants in the kingdom. We all have a role. It's an important role, but it's a small role. It's a limited role. And it ultimately depends on God. So that I find quite freeing whenever I get burdened with my own responsibilities, or we can all get burdened with the idea that we have to do more or somehow accomplish more, or that God is expecting more of us. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. You know, I just ran across a little comment about mosaics. You know, mosaics are made up of small stones. Small stones, and each stone just looks like a rock or a square or even just a broken chip of a stone or piece of marble. But when it's put in its right place with all the other stones, you get a very beautiful representation of what God has in mind. And that's, Moses is a very important stone, but he's still just one stone in the mosaic. The central and complete picture is, of course, Jesus Christ, the rock. And he's the one we turn to. We're not disciples of Moses. We're disciples of Jesus Christ.